April 16th, our reading in the Old Testament comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 13, verse 1, through chapter 14, verse 15. Here's a brief overview and commentary of what we'll be reading about today in Scripture. Joshua was getting old. He was between 85 and 100 years of age at this time. God, however, still had work for him to do. You know, our culture often glorifies the young and strong and sets aside those who are older. Yet older people are filled with the wisdom that comes with experience. They are very capable of serving if given the chance and should be encouraged to do so. Believers are never allowed to retire from God's service. Those past retirement age should not assume that age disqualifies or excuses them from serving God. Much of the land was unconquered at this point, but God's plan was to go ahead and include it in the divisions among the tribes. God's desire here was that it would eventually be conquered by the Israelites. God knows the future. And as he leads you, he already knows about the victories that lie ahead. But just as the Israelites still had to go to battle and fight, we must still face the trials and fight the battles of our unconquered land, so to speak. So what are your unconquered lands? They may be overseas missionary territories, new languages in which to translate the Bible, new missionary areas in our neighborhoods, interest groups or institutions that need redemptive work, unchallenged public problems or ethical issues, unconfessed sin in our lives, or underdeveloped talents and resources. What territory has God given you to conquer? This territory is your promised land. Our inheritance will be a new heaven and a new earth if we fulfill the mission God has given us to do. And one reason the Israelites encountered so many problems as they settled the land was that they failed to fully conquer the land and drive out all its inhabitants. The cancer-like presence of the remaining pagan peoples of Canaan caused unending difficulties for the Israelites, as the book of Judges records. Just as they failed to remove completely the sin from the land, believers today often fail to remove completely the sin from their lives, also with disastrous results. As a self-test, reread the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Ask yourself, am I tolerating sinful practices or thoughts? Have I accepted half measures as good enough? Do I condemn the faults of others but condone my own? Now, because of Joseph's godly character, back in Genesis 49, the tribes descended from him, Ephraim and Manasseh, were given the richest, most fertile land in all of Canaan. Now, Judah, who offered himself in exchange for his brother Benjamin's safety, received the largest portion of land, which eventually became the southern kingdom and the seat of David's dynasty. Reuben, who slept with one of his father's wives, was given desert land, the region described here in Scripture we'll be reading about. The blessings Jacob gave to his sons, according to their character, seem also to be reflected in the characteristics of the land each tribe later received. And with that, let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. April 16th, the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1 through chapter 14, verse 15. When Joshua was an old man, the Lord said to him, "You are growing old, and much land remains to be conquered. This is the territory that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and the Geshurites, and the larger territory of the Canaanites, extending from the stream of Shior on the border of Egypt, northward to the boundary of Ekron. It includes the territory of the five Philistine rulers of Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The land of the Avites in the south also remains to be conquered. In the north, the following area has not yet been conquered. All the land of the Canaanites, including Meara, which belongs to the Sidonians, stretching northward to Aphek on the border of the Amorites, the land of the Gebalites, and all of the Lebanon mountain area to the east, from Baal-Gad below Mount Hermon to Lebo Hamath, and all the hill country from Lebanon to Mizrafoth-Maim, including all the land of the Sidonians. I myself will drive these people out of the land ahead of the Israelites. So be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you. Include all this territory as Israel's possession when you divide this land among the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. half the tribe of Manasseh and the tribes of Reuben and Gad had already received their grants of land on the east side of the Jordan, for Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously assigned this land to them. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba as far as Dibon. It also included all the towns of King Sihon of the Amorites, who had reigned in Heshbon and extended as far as the border of Ammon. It included Gilead, the territory of the kingdoms of Geshur and Maacah, all of Bashan as far as Salika, and all the territory of King Og of Bashan, who had reigned in Ashtaroth and Edrei. King Og was the last of the Rephaites, for Moses had attacked them and driven them out. But the Israelites failed to drive out the people of Geshur and Maacah, so they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. Moses did not assign any allotment of land to the tribe of Levi. Instead, as the Lord had promised them, their allotment came from the offerings burned on the altar to the Lord, the God of Israel. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the tribe of Reuben. Their territory extended from Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, including the town in the middle of the gorge, to the plain beyond Medeba. It included Heshbon and the other towns on the plain, Dibon, Bamoth Baal, Beth Baal Meon, Jehaz, Kedamoth, Mephaath, Kiriathaim, Sibma, Zerith Shahar on the hill above the valley, Beth Peor, the slopes of Pisgah, and Beth Jeshimoth. The land of Reuben also included all the towns of the plain and the entire kingdom of Sihon. Sihon was the Amorite king, who had reigned in Heshbon and was killed by Moses, along with the leaders of Midian, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, princes living in the region who were allied with Sihon. The Israelites had also killed Balaam, son of Beor, who used magic to tell the future. The Jordan River marked the western boundary for the tribe of Reuben. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Reuben. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the tribe of Gad. Their territory included Jazer, all the towns of Gilead, and half of the land of Ammon, as far as the town of Aroer just west of Rabbah. It extended from Heshbon to Ramoth Mizpah and Betonim, and from Mahanaim to Lodebar. In the valley were Beth Haram, Beth Nimrah, Sukkoth, Zaphon, and the rest of the kingdom of King Sihon of Heshbon. The western boundary ran along the Jordan River, extended as far north as the tip of the Sea of Galilee, and then turned eastward. The towns and their surrounding villages in this area were given as a homeland to the clans of the tribe of Gad. Moses had assigned the following area to the clans of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Their territory extended from Mahanaim, including all of Bashan, all the former kingdom of King Oz, and the 60 towns of Jair in Bashan. It also included half of Gilead and King Og's royal cities of Ashtaroth and Edrei. All this was given to the clans of the descendants of Machir, who was Manasseh's son. These are the allotments Moses had made while he was on the plains of Moab, across the Jordan River east of Jericho. But Moses gave no allotment of land to the tribe of Levi, for the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised that he himself would be their allotment. The remaining tribes of Israel received land in Canaan, as allotted by Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the tribal leaders. These 9.5 tribes received their grants of land by means of sacred lots, in accordance with the Lord's command through Moses. Moses had already given a grant of land to the 2.5 tribes on the east side of the Jordan River, but he had given the Levites no such allotment. The descendants of Joseph had become 2 separate tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and the Levites were given no land at all, only towns to live in with surrounding pasture lands for their livestock and all their possessions. So the land was distributed in strict accordance with the Lord's commands to Moses. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me, when we were at Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report. But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day, Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan, on which you were just walking, will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years, since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today, I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So, give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. You will remember that, as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land, just as the Lord said. So Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, because he wholeheartedly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Previously, Hebron had been called Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero of the descendants of Anak. And the land had rest from war. And now it's time for our reading in the New Testament. And our scripture today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 17. Here's a brief overview. To persist in prayer and not give up does not mean endless repetition or painfully long prayer sessions. Constant prayer means keeping our requests continually before God as we live for Him day by day, believing He will answer. When we live by faith, we are not to give up. God may delay answering, but His delays always have good reasons. As we persist in prayer, we grow in character, faith, and hope. Widows and orphans were among the most vulnerable of all God's people, and both Old Testament prophets and New Testament apostles insisted that these needy people be properly cared for. If godless judges respond to constant pressure, as we'll read about here in Scripture today, how much more will a great and loving God respond to us? If we know He loves us, we can believe He will hear our cries for help. Now, the people who lived near Jerusalem often would go to the temple to pray. The temple was the center of their worship, and we'll read about that today. The Pharisee did not go to the temple to pray to God, but to announce to all with an earshot how good He was. The tax collector went recognizing his sin and begging for mercy. Self-righteousness is dangerous. It leads to pride, causes a person to despise others, and prevents him or her from learning anything from God. The tax collector's prayer should be our prayer, because we all need God's mercy every day. Hey, don't let pride in your achievements cut you off from God. Now, it was customary for a mother to bring her children to a rabbi for a blessing. And that is why these mothers gathered around Jesus. The disciples, however, thought the children were unworthy of the master's time, you know, less important than whatever else he was doing. But Jesus welcomed them because little children have the kind of faith and trust needed to enter God's kingdom. It's important that we introduce our children to Jesus. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. April 16th, the New Testament. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 17. One day Jesus told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to Him repeatedly, saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to His chosen people who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on earth who have faith?" Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. One day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Psalm 85, verses 1 through 13. As we read in the Psalms today, we'll see that the writer was asking God to revive his people, bringing them back to spiritual life. You know, God is capable of reviving both churches and individuals. He can pour out his love on us, renewing our love for him. If you need revival in your church, family, or personal spiritual life, well, ask God to give you a fresh touch of his love. As the psalmist cries out for God's intervention, he can almost see, taste, and hear God's response. These five verses that we'll read, chapter 85, verses 9 through 13, describe what God can do for those who welcome his herald, righteousness. And this psalm illustrates that the greater the presence of righteousness, that is, obedience to God, the clearer the examples of God's blessings. And this principle works equally in the life of a nation or an individual. The more we first seek God's righteousness and his kingdom, as Jesus pointed out, the more we will see everything else taken care of by God. Psalm 85, verses 1 through 13. For the choir director, a psalm of the descendants of Korah. Lord, you poured out blessings on your land. You restored the fortunes of Israel. You forgave the guilt of your people. Yes, you covered all their sins. Interlude. You held back your fury. You kept back your blazing anger. Now, restore us again, O God of our salvation. Put aside your anger against us once more. Will you be angry with us always? Will you prolong your wrath to all generations? Won't you revive us again so your people can rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. But let them not return to their foolish ways. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. So our land will be filled with his glory. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings. Our land will yield its bountiful harvest. Righteousness goes as a herald before him, preparing the way for his steps. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Some who are poor pretend to be rich. Others who are rich pretend to be poor. The rich can pay a ransom for their lives, but the poor won't even get threatened.